present Ray Allen, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as usual, I'll ask all four of them at different times to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. Let us begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is My Plot. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My plot is just behind the house, in the middle of the garden, surrounded by trees, flowers, and mostly weeds. And it's grass. I won't call it a lawn, because it isn't strictly one, and there are a lot of dandelions and daisies in it. I rather like them. I prefer them, in fact, to the blades, this stuff that I mentioned earlier, because they are more colourful, and the shapes are attractive. And, of course, you can eat the dandelion leaves, make a very nice salad.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
Two dandelions.
Yes, there was more than one dandelion.
Yeah, of course there was.
And that was
yes.
Repetition. So a correct challenge for Clement Freud, so he gets a point for that. And he takes over the subject, which is My Plot, and there are 35 seconds left, starting now.
In My Plot, there's a 43-year-old nun dressed as a penguin, masquerading as a spy for Luxembourg, intent on gauging the secrets of Liechtenstein's defense force. And on the 14th of October, she sneaks through what is left of the Suez Canal and swims to the far bank in order to get her pen sharpened to a point and write to the chief of staff saying, "Dear sir," or to put it another way, "Hello."
I thought that was a supreme example of how to keep going with utter rubbish and no one dares to challenge because they don't know whether he's deviating or not. So Clement Freud kept going until the whistle went, which tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment, as you know, gains an extra point. So at the end of the first round, Clement Freud has got two and nobody else has scored. Clement, we're going to ask you to begin the second round. The subject is breakfast. Will you tell us something about that delicious meal in just a minute, starting now?
This is going to be a monologue show. Eggs, bacon, sausage, tomato, kidneys, liver, porridge, corn flakes with milk or cream and sugar. The great thing about breakfast is that it is by far the nicest meal of the day, unfortunately served at an hour which is totally unacceptable as far as most of us concerned for the consumption of food. Nevertheless, all over the country and in towns and cities as well, families consisting of father, mother, sister, granny, little boys, small girls, and tiny babies.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He isn't talking about breakfast. He's just giving us lists of things. He gave us lists of food items in the first instance, and now he's listing all these relatives.
I'm spokesman
well, to be,
for consumers.
To be absolutely fair, Peter, I know we've heard an awful lot of Clement Freud, but I have to be fair in the game, and the list of food was applied to breakfast, and in my mind, he was letting us...
No, the second one, I let that go, purposely. The second one was a list of relatives.
Not his relatives, but they were all having breakfast, as far as I can make out. So and the audience agree, so we let him carry on.
You mean two people clapped, and you think they all...
Thank you for confirming my decision. And there are 25 seconds left for Clement Freud to continue with breakfast, starting now.
Other acceptable fare at breakfast is toast, brown or white bread, margarine, butter, salted or possibly not, with all sorts of prerequisites like marmalade, plum jam, preserves, cheese, like that made of lemon or quince. And the great thing here is, of course, that having filled yourself almost to repletion...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Clement Freud Show. And he really is in great form tonight, isn't he? Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the second round, Clement Freud is still the only one to have scored any points. And he has four. And he's not going to begin the next round. So we're going to hear from Kenneth Williams now. And Kenneth, the subject is going over the top. something which I'm sure you would never dream of doing. But can you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
This is a term which is used in the theatre to imply the kind of performance which lacks proper restraint and is generally unbridled and somewhat undisciplined, something of which, of course, I am totally incapable. Everything I do, you will notice, has a nicety and a certain calculated air of stylish and debonair nonchalance.
Ray Allen has challenged.
I haven't challenged. I just wanted to say, as a new boy, what a great honour it is to be on the same programme as this master of intellect. I find it completely awe-inspiring, and I do wish he'd continue it.
Yeah. You're getting some good material for Lord Charles, are you?
He sounds a bit like Lord Charles.
A sober version. Oh, yes. And for those on the shores who've never heard Lord Charles, he is the dummy for which Ray works so expertly with his fingers. That sounds filthy, doesn't it?
Carry on.
And Kenneth Williams, you were interrupted. It's a wrong challenge, so you get a point for that. You continue with the subject. The 36 seconds left, going over the top, starting now.
This was the term used in the Great War when thousands of men had to rush with bayonets fixed over into the lines of the enemy. And
Clement Freud.
I would just like to welcome Ray Allen and say... What a pleasure and a privilege it is to have on our program a man who performs...
I must explain to the listeners that the laughter now is nothing to do with the things that Clement Freud is saying, because they're not particularly funny. It is Kenneth Williams throwing himself about in an apoplectic state at the joy that Clement Freud is at present giving him.
I thought he was demonstrating the subject, going over the top.
Well, that's another way of putting it. So he gets another point for that, and he continues with the subject with only 27 seconds left, going over the top, starting now.
Over the top of a sandbag fence, I had to go on an assault course when I was in the army, and I did it with incredible alacrity, landing in some water when I was supposed to go over on a rope and have another man, which I'd swing the thing back to him, and he would cross also. But in the meantime, my boots were full of water. But no, I can't.
Ray Allen. Ray Allen, you've charged.
Hmm? Two waters.
Yes, you listen very
He's
well.
He's very sharp, isn't he?
Yes. So, Ray, you have a correct challenge. You've got, there are 12 seconds left. The subject is going over the top, starting now.
Going over the top was something that my grandfather used to talk about apropos the First World War. He said that when he had his bayonet fixed, he found it very difficult to get up out of the trenches because invariably...
So Ray Allen was then speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point, and at the end of that round, he's equal with Kenneth Williams. They're both in second place behind Clement Freud. Ray, your turn to begin, and the subject is His Lordship. I can't think why investors thought of that subject for you, but would you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
Many years ago...
Kenneth...
Temptation, I'm afraid.
You rotten, rotten player of the game.
I took a breath.
What's that?
I had to take a breath.
Well, I think you would have written the letter the time you took.
He took 1.5 seconds. He's never played the game before. He's never even started in the game before.
I mean, I base myself before you.
This is that intellect.
I don't wish you to be so mean.
This is that man I've admired so many years.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. I'll take it back.
No, I wouldn't, actually, because it's a wrong challenge, and Ray gets a point for that, and so he's still got the subject, an extra point, and there are 58.5 seconds left. His Lordship, starting now.
Many years ago, I...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't draw a breath.
A good challenge, but a wrong one. And there are 57.5 seconds left, Ray, for you on His Lordship, starting now.
I was in Wormwood Scrubs prison doing a charity concert to a captive audience with a character I had just created whose name was then Charles. But after the show, somebody said, you must give him a title.
and the only one that I could think of was Lord Charles. And so there he was, suddenly born in the prison. And may I say, the first peer of the realm to be given such a title in one of Her Majesty's places of retention. The point of this character was originally to be my sort of sidekick in shows of entertainment in various forms and fields. But then I found the great joy was when the audience suddenly responded by falling in love with this dear little character. And I thought, well, here I am with this little fellow sitting there, and I'm getting all the checks. None of them are made out to him. The nobility suddenly became... There's not a dry eye in the house. Well, that pathetic story, which none of them dare challenge, gave Ray Allen a number of points, and our newcomer, the first time speaking in the game, he's gone into the lead. Ahead of Clement Forrest.
I must say, it did help having my hand up Peter Jones' jacket.
It's not that sort of game.
I'm sorry. It made me feel at home.
But he never opened his mouth. Peter, you're going to open your mouth now because we're back with you and the subject is socks and you have just a minute to talk about it. What is the funny about that? Is it the smell or just the thought? Anyway, there are 60 seconds, Peter, starting now.
The last socks I bought, I purchased during the January sales and they were described as slight seconds. When I got them home, I found the feet fitted all right, but the legs came up way over the knees, and I looked like a maid in a French farce, without any suspenders, of course. And I was quite unable to wear them for any length of time, only in the privacy of my own home, naturally. But walking about with the shorts that I customarily wear in the summer, it was really quite embarrassing.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
If he bought them in the January sales and wore them in the summer, there is an element of deviation there.
I cannot see it, I'm sure. That. You can buy them when you like and wear them whenever you like. I mean, if you want to, you can buy something today and wear it next year if you wish.
Gosh, can I?
Yes. So, an incorrect challenge and 28 seconds are left for Peter to continue on socks, starting now.
Next time I buy socks, I'm going to buy some that are the same as the ones that I have at the moment, so that when one springs a hole, I shall be able to make it up with one of the others. I think this is a much more economical way of
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. Socks don't spring holes. It's water that springs a leak very often in a pipe, but...
Water doesn't spring a leak.
Spring from socks. They simply wear away, and there's no springing accomplished in the process at all. So it's deviation. He's misinforming the general pub. The socks suddenly spring open.
And you're going on an awful lot.
Oh, sorry, old boy. I saw a line.
You didn't realize I was still here. All right. 14 seconds are left for you, Peter, to continue with socks, starting now.
Not only that, I'm going to buy a darning needle and a...
And Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of buy.
Yes, you have bought before, now. I'm afraid.
I bought, but I'm going to buy, I said.
No, you always said I'm going to. You used the word buy before. I heard it. It's all right, Peter.
You heard it.
Don't wriggle.
He said that like a man who hadn't heard it.
There are 11 seconds left for socks. It's Clement Freud to continue starting now.
Socks are almost essential if you don't want your bare feet to meet the inside of your boots, shoes, or Wellingtons. And for this reason, it is advisable to purchase.
Clement Freud, speaking of the... Well, got the wrong teeth in again. Clement Freud, speaking when the whistle went, has gained the extra point and the lead at the end of the round. His lordship. You didn't bring Charlie Boy with you. Ray Allen is in second place and Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams in third equal. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is ceremonies. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, there are a very substantial number of ceremonies like the Lord Mayor's show, but perhaps my favourite story about any ceremony occurred in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Peter Jones.
There's no other show like the Lord Mayor's show.
So what's your challenge?
Deviation.
I'm sorry, that you can. It's up to you. You can, if you think there are other shows which compare, you're allowed to say so, in, as long as you don't deviate from the subject. And Clement wasn't, so he keeps it, and there are 51 seconds left, starting now.
The Emperor Franz Josef decided to visit his Hungarian provinces and let it be known that wherever he went, the bells of the church should ring and the people should come out and bow or genuflect. And when he reached one particular village in Hungary, there was no noise from the church steeple whatsoever. And he called the mayor to come to him and asked this worthy gentleman why, to which the dignitary replied, "Sire, we have no bell." There are three reasons why.
Ray Allen Jones.
Can I tell you that story? Because
yes, I know you were struggling. It's a very good story.
It's
Let's
a very lovely story. In fact, what happened, it was impossible to do without repeating, what happened was the emperor said, "Why do the bells not ring?" And the mayor said, "Your Majesty, there are three reasons. Firstly, we have no bell." And the Kaiser said, "In that case, I do not want to hear the other two reasons."
Well,
I shall say no more.
No, indeed. But you were challenging for hesitation, Ray, and you have a correct challenge for that. And there are 17 seconds left for ceremonies, starting now.
I always enjoy ceremonies, particularly the last one I attended, which was one where my aunt was being given the great accolade of being presented with this enormous cup that she didn't know what she was going to do with, because it was an enormous thing. It stood about a foot high, and it was... Oh.
Well, was it his aunt or the cup that stood about a foot high?
Both my aunt and the cup stood about a foot high.
Well, Ray Allen kept going till the whistle went, and they didn't spot the two enormouses there. And
no, I ignored it.
Peter Jones, the gentleman.
Only reason I mentioned it was not to embarrass you, Ray, but occasionally, funny enough, I get letters and saying, "Why didn't you tell him off?" And I don't know why they write. So, And I think after 10 years, if they don't know the rules of the game yet, it's a bit difficult to answer. Ray, you've taken the lead again alongside Clement Freud on this occasion, and we're back with Kenneth Williams to begin, and the subject is Hyperboreans. Ian Messiter has thought up this one for you, and can you tell us something about it, Kenneth, in just a minute, starting now?
These are a people that exist largely in myth and were supposed to occupy the northern territories. They were all worshippers of the great god Apollo, and their region was supposedly free from any inclemency, furnished with plenty and perpetual sunshine. It would be equated largely today to a utopian state, or something pro-paradisical, in the sense that nothing adverse occurs at all. Whether, of course, such a thing is ever possible for human beings, I very much doubt. Probably the Hyperboreans are an expression, so to speak, of the aspiration of all humankind to reach that state of brotherly love, where no longer there any altercation with each other, but exist in such harmony and such wondrous understanding that no harsh words ever pass.
Kenneth Williams took his subject of Hyperboreans with such relish. It was so close to his heart, obviously, that he kept going without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating. Wasn't challenged. He got a point for speaking as the whistle went, and an extra point for not being challenged. And he's still in third place. And Peter Jones is just behind, and Clement Freud and Ray Allen are still in the lead. And Ray Allen, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is dummies. It seems rather in your neck of the woods, all the questions for you, but there we are. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, of course, dummies are various things. The name can be attributed to the things that are stuck into babies' mouths, something that a ventriloquist puts on his knee. But the ones I prefer are, strangely enough, those you see in shop windows. I love them, those that the ladies normally would look at.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Yes, there was an error, a definite hesitation, I think.
Well, I'm afraid there was. Yes, he started looking the...
There was an error. I was looking in the window. I'm sorry.
I'm not happy with that, are you?
Mentally was looking in that window and he really did err, didn't he?
That's right.
Kenneth, the subject is dummies and there are 40 seconds left and it's with you now.
This is how these things in the waxworks have always struck me. The unanimated look they have to me is redolent of misery, and a quality of ghoulishness pervades me as I survey them in all their dreadful gear. I'm thinking, of course, particularly of the Chamber of Horrors, as the French always put it, don't they, our dear cousins, over the channel there. They've got one, of course, and them that gave us...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of course.
Well, there were three, so I think he let the second one go. So we give Clement...
Yes, he did let it go. I heard him let it go.
But he's picked it up now anyway. And there are 12 seconds for dummies with you, Clement Freud, starting now.
When I think of dummies, I'm constantly reminded of a very lovely and important film in which Michael Redgrave, now knighted, played a ventriloquist who was taken over by his dummy. It was a...
Well, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and has regained the lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, back with you to start, and the subject is The Things My Friends Do to Me. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I'm not sure I ought to tell you any of these things because it is a family show and there might be causes for offence. I don't know whether...
yes, Kenneth Williams.
Well, it ended her.
About the things that people do to him, and he really did her.
The subject obviously filled him with apprehension.
Kenneth, there are 49 seconds for The Things My Friends Do to Me. We're in for a few revelations now, I've no doubt. And Kenneth, will you tell us about it now?
The things they do to me is largely in the sense confessionally. So I receive, as a mentor, things from them. And one of my friends, Sheila Hancock, was telling me notable examples of eccentricity from none other than Peter Jones, who travelled a long period with her on a railway train. She said to me he fantasises the old time, dear, buys his magazines, and then reads extraordinary items out to me and embroiders them. And when we got to the station, at the other end of the line, he saw in the station yard this...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Two stations.
Yes, there were two stations. And so that's the correct challenge. And Clement, you have 16 seconds to take up the subject of The Things My Friends Do to Me, starting now.
The things my friends do to me predominantly are to press their brothers when I hesitate, deviate, or repeat myself. And they're absolutely entitled to do this because the laws or rules of Just a Minute demand that that should be their action, which is entitled, I think, in many...
Oh, once again, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is When All Is Said and Done. And probably will be the last round, so it's a good subject perhaps to finish, I don't know. We'll see how we go, and will you start now?
I think When All Is Said and Done is an absolutely meaningless expression, like as a matter of fact, or between you and me. The sort of cliches that mean absolutely nothing at all, and waste the time of man and beast. I shall stop.
Well, that was very definite, and Kenneth was the first to react, and you pressed your buzzer, and... hesitation. Kenneth, you... What?
It's not
what, what is your challenge, Kenneth?
I'm challenging because it came to a halt, you see, and I was told that when that happened in this game, it was regarded as hesitation.
I quite agree, Kenneth. and there are 45 seconds left. When all is said and done, Kenneth, starting now.
When all is said and done, there is really only one. What am I referring to? Of course, Kenneth Williams. Sewer generic, unique, a quality no one else possesses, and the electomy of my particular kind of brain gives an individuality, a certain spur, a certain charm, a certain, well, je ne sais quoi.
What happened? Rayanne and George.
Rayanne, I beg your pardon. I didn't hear your buzzer.
No, I didn't. I only buzzed after you stopped and said what happened. I was... So that was hesitation, wasn't it?
Yeah, hesitation. Definitely, yes.
What was the subject?
when all is said and
Kenneth
done.
Williams, I think.
And there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
Well, when all is said and done, I would have really liked to have heard Peter finish off the things his friends do to him, but unfortunately we can't do that, so... I think this is...
Clement Floyd is challenged.
Deviation we can. He just has to hesitate or deviate or pause. After which Peter Jones has to press his buzzer, and then we can do it.
Right.
Pull yourself together and see what you can do.
So, as he wasn't actually technically deviating from the subject, that was an incorrect challenge, and Ray gets another point for that, and there are 15 seconds to continue, Ray, starting now.
This is an expression that's always interested me, because, as Clement was saying earlier, it is a strange one.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition. Clement Freud.
Yes. And Ray's going to have his opportunity now, and here you wind up the show now, because there are 10 seconds left for When All Is Said and Done, starting now.
When all is said and done means there is a point in time when all these things are accomplished. Every word that has to be uttered has already been.
Well, Peter Jones, I'm pleased to say, did come in at the end and finish the round and got an extra point, and he finished the show, but alas, he also finished in fourth place. But he was only a little way behind Kenneth Williams, who was in third place. And our guest, Ray Allen, not having played before, did remarkably well, coming in second place, only 2 points behind this week's winner, who is, once again, Clement Freud. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again five of us will take the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us tonight, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.